Linda. Those of you who are 11 and under, I want you to follow Erin right over here to my left. Follow her to the hall, and you're going to have your own program. And again, Linda, that was a blessing. Always love that we mix the Word of God in with the music. On Wednesday nights here, we sing a hymn and we read a psalm. Just kind of blends it and gives us the calmness of the Lord. All right, what happened to my speech? There he is, to my right. I thought I lost you, brother.
I am ready.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to preach.
You already did.
Yeah, amen.
Have you ever noticed when in a revival meeting, about the second or third night, the pastor starts preaching his announcements? By the end of the week, he's preaching all the way through, amen. I like it when a preacher gets fired up, don't you? Nothing worse than dead preaching, that's for sure. It is such a joy to have the Masons here. Carmela was just a 11-year-old girl, I think, when I became pastor of the church. And she's been the church pianist for years there at Annsville Baptist Church in Peekskill. And then she met Brother Mason, and she swept him right off his feet. And they've been a blessing and an encouragement to me for many years. And I really, that was the hardest thing I ever did, was leave Annsville Baptist Church, I can tell you. And my daughter said, "Dad, why don't you cry? Why aren't you crying over leaving?" And I said, "You're not around all the time, you know." Speaking of red lights, is the pastor still here? Did he step out? Oh, there he is. I got to tell a red light story. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on making choices, okay? How many of you make choices? How many of you ever made a wrong choice? Oh, okay, I feel like I can relate to you. Amen. Okay. Well, you know, this preacher, he was in Fort Worth, Texas. His name was J. Frank Norris. And he was a great preacher in many ways. In fact, he pastored two churches at the same time, one in Detroit, Michigan, and one in Fort Worth, Texas. But he's buzzing through town, and he ran a red. Now, preachers ought not to be running red lights. Amen? And, boy, sure enough, here's the lights behind him, and the policeman, the Fort Worth police pulled him over. And then the police officer realized, "Oh, no, I pulled over Dr. Norris. Oh, man." And so he went up to him very gingerly, you know, and said to him, "Dr. Norris, didn't you see the red light?" He said, "Oh, I saw the red light. I just didn't see you." I'm not advocating that we ought to run reds, amen? But I thought that was pretty funny. And God help us to make the right decisions. Take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. I'm going to read this verse to you, and I want you to underline it. I want you to remember it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to get this verse deep in your heart. Because every one of us make thousands of decisions. Thousands of decisions. And we need to make the right decisions. Amen? How many of you know somebody that's made some really bad decisions? Okay, I see your hand. You may put it down. No, I'm just kidding. But all of us have made bad decisions. Sometimes we reap the benefits of bad decisions, don't we? But yet we can reap the blessings of God on decisions that we make as well. And notice the verse, Luke 2:52. Jesus, He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with who? God and man. Let's read it together. Jesus increased in wisdom and favor with God and man. I want you to take that verse and take it personal. I want to be like Jesus. I want to make right decisions. I don't like the consequences of wrong decisions. Every one of us could, you've already thought about a bad decision you made. Something that you regretted. I remember hearing the story. In fact, my brother told me the story about a couple that got married. They were in love, and the wife went to her doctor, and the doctor seduced her. She became pregnant with child. Her husband, when he found out about it, he said, "We will adopt that child. And we will love that child as our own child. And I forgive you. And I love you. And will always love you." She was sorrowful about what happened. It was a weak moment for her. Satan got in. One wrong decision can change everything. They raised that child. And you know what that wife said about her husband? She said, because he forgave me. She said, I love him more than I've ever loved him. And I will never do anything to hurt him ever again. Now, why did I tell you that story? I told you that story because there are times that you're going to do wrong and you need forgiveness. How many of you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to forgive all sin? We're not. I'm sorry, I'm not. Unless God intervenes. I want to give you 7 tests tonight, okay? Now these are going to be quick tests, so you got to listen really fast. Somebody stole a little bit of my time. So I've got to really preach fast tonight, okay? So I want you to write some things down as I preach. I hope you're writing things down. But I'm going to give you 7 tests. And I'm going to give you the name of the test. I want you to write down the name of the test. I'm going to give you a question about that test. And then I'm going to give you a scripture for that test, okay? What I'd like all of you to do is as you take this test, don't think about anybody else but yourself, okay? This is a selfish message, okay? I want you to think about yourself and how you're doing in getting victory in decisions that you make and coming to the place in your life where you can make right choices every time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Number 1, the scripture test. The scripture test. Write down the word scripture. Here's the question. Has God already spoken about the decision you're going to make in His Word? Okay? Did you know that God's Word is a roadmap? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Man doesn't order his own steps. God orders man's steps. And you can literally walk in the will of God. I'm in the will of God tonight. I'm in Wingdale. Amen. I'm in the will of God right now. I have done what God's told me to do. And I love it. I love to make right decisions because there's happiness and joy in it. So if I come across, let's say somebody offered me a beer. I would say, well, my Heavenly Father would want me to drink that. Amen. Can I get at least 1 amen in a Baptist church? Amen. If somebody wanted me to snort some cocaine, I'd say, well, I can't do that because the Word of God says my body is the temple of God. Amen. Amen. And I don't care what it is somebody wants me to do, if it violates Scripture, I should not do it. And neither should you. You say, well, if you're going to please people, you're going to have to do things that you don't really want to do and that you know are wrong. Why? Why should we ever do anything against God? The one that suffered and bled and died for us, why would we ever want to disappoint our Savior? Amen. Huh? Now I'm giving you an illustration. Suppose I was unfaithful to my wife. Now that's a terrible thing to even say. And so you ask her, what did you think about what Dan did? Oh, you know, everybody's got to do what they want. I love them anyway. It's no big deal. That's not happening. My wife told me that she has an iron frying pan. Amen. And if Daniel gets out of line, I can't stay awake forever. Now you know why I want to make right choices? Amen. The scripture test. Here's the verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Did you know that we are to walk in the will of God and we are to live perfect lives? You say, nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. But we don't have to make as many mistakes as we make. Every one of us could make less bad choices than we're making right now. Yeah. The choice about going to church is one of them. The choice about reading your Bible is one of them. The choice about praying and walking with God is a choice that you make, and it will perfect you. Number two, the second test is the secrecy test. The secrecy test. Here's the question. Would it bother you if everyone knew all of the choices that you made? What if everybody knew all the choices you made tomorrow? Or all of the choices you made today? What if it came up on a screen, all of the choices you made for the last week? How many of you would not want that to be put up on the screen? Amen. Both of my hands are raised. Amen. Yeah. What are we saying? Our lives are no secret to Almighty God. There's stuff about me that my wife may not know, but God knows it. The Bible says, where shall I flee from the presence of the Lord or run from His eye? He said, if you made your bed in hell, God's there. You know, people that die and go to hell that should have gotten saved and didn't, they're going to forever regret that they didn't make the right choice when that invitation was given for them to accept Christ as Savior. Oh, I want to tell you, there are no secrets with God. And I'm glad because it keeps us accountable. It causes us to say, you know what, God, you're watching me. And I do not want to disappoint you. I don't want to disappoint my wife. I don't want to disappoint my kids and my grandkids. I don't want to disappoint the churches that I preach in or the pastors that I preach for. So I have to take seriously the test of secrecy. God's watching me. Did you know the Bible says He'll expose our sin? Yeah. How many of you know somebody, their sin got exposed and everybody knew about it and they were shame-faced because of it? Yes. You know, God sometimes says, you know what? I'm not putting up with that anymore. And then He pulls the lid off it so everybody can see it. And what a sad thing it is when a church goes through sadness because people got away from God and they quit making right decisions and it hurt the family. It hurt the church. Listen, the church is a body. When the hand hurts, the whole body hurts. When the tooth hurts, the whole body hurts. You can't sin without it hurting somebody, including yourself. The verse of Scripture is, a false balance is an abomination, Proverbs 11, 1-3. But a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Have you ever seen somebody's life destroyed? That could have been you. That could have been you. The secrecy test. Number three. The third test is the survey test. The survey test. Here's the question. What if everyone followed your example? Maybe another way I could say it is, what would your church be like if every member of the church was just like you? Some churches wouldn't have Sunday night or Wednesday night. Some churches wouldn't have any workers. Some churches would only have complainers. But oh, what a thrill when God gets a hold of the heart of a church member and causes them to want to serve the Lord. And what can I do to make a difference? I want to be used of God. I want to be the best example I can possibly be. Amen. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us were so faithful that all of the people could look at us and say, there's a Christian. There's a faithful member. There's a person that you can call on when you're in need. Because they love people, they care about people, and they want to make a difference in people's lives. Oh, I want that so bad. Here's the verse of scripture for the survey test. It's 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Wow, that's a high order, isn't it? Every Christian ought to have every one of the characteristics here of a person that you can follow. One that has good conversation, is loving, has the right spirit, lives a life of faith, and lives a pure life before Almighty God. Wow. That's a high order, isn't it? But greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Everybody here has three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the devil really doesn't have to bother many church members. The world and the flesh take care of it. But oh, you get a Christian on fire for God, the devil will show up. Right? The devil's going to challenge you. He's going to try to defeat you. And here's the deal with the devil. When you get to the place in your life where you are spiritually victorious, you're living a spirit-filled life, the Satan will quit trying to bother you so much because you weary him. You make him mad. He can't get anything over on you because you're always making right choices. I'd like to put the devil on the run, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd like to try to get the devil as far away from me as I can. Oh, I know he's going to tempt me. I know he's going to put me to the test. Maybe even the Lord, like he did with Job. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. That's a man that is really loving God and hating evil, the Bible says. That's what the Lord said about Job. But the Lord allowed Satan to put the pressure on Job. But you know what? Job never. He never sinned against the Lord, nor charged God foolishly. Boy, that's the type of person we ought to emulate. Amen. Even when your wife says, curse God and die, you're not going to do it. Because you have found the Lord to be all sufficient. Number four, the spiritual test. The spiritual test. Here's the question. Are you being people pressured or are you spirit led? Now, some people serve the Lord because the pastor asked them to. And there's nothing wrong with that. The pastor needs to be a good delegator because there's jobs to be done and he can't do it all. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. Amen. Many hands make light work. The Masons would remember when I got up one time and said that I'd been guilty of robbing church members of a blessing. Remember that? Art picked up one of those tasks, taking care of the van. I remember that. Yeah, there were nine things. And the church people said, there's nine things our pastor's doing. And how do I do nine? Nine things that our pastor is doing that he doesn't need to be doing. And he's been robbing me of a blessing. And boy, they took those things and relieved me of that pressure and that burden and I rejoiced and had more time to do what God really wanted me to do. And it put some people to work that may not have been doing anything. Oh, to have a ministry in the work of the Lord is an honor. Carmela was our pianist for many, many years. Faithful, right there at the piano, serving the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing to see people that are faithful. The spiritual test is saying, I'm not doing that because somebody pressured me to. I'm doing it because the Holy Spirit of God led me to do it. God spoke to me and said, you need to do this. And get it cleared by the preacher and be serving the Lord. Amen. Very important that everybody be involved in the work of our great God. Here's the verse of Scripture. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Notice, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What's he saying? Don't do what you do because you're under pressure to do it, people pressure. No, you do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love being led by the Spirit. Number 5, the stumbling test. The stumbling test question is this. What I'm about to do, could it cause my brother or another person to stumble? Don't you think we ought to be good examples? Huh? I used to tell the church at Annsville, I'd say, what would you think of me if you drove by the bar and saw Pastor Knickerbocker in the bar drinking? Would that bother you? Some would say, amen. I guess if the preacher can drink, I can drink, and then they become a drunk. What good's that? I can't be a stumbling block. What if I lose my temper and mistreat people all the time? You'll lose respect. Correct? Yeah. I can't respect him. Because he doesn't have the joy of the Lord and he doesn't treat people right. I would be a stumbling block to you. In fact, let me give you the verse of Scripture. Romans 14:21. It is good to neither eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Now that's in the King James Bible. The newer versions only have just stumbling. They don't put in there is offended or is made weak. I have seen churches disintegrate because of a weak preacher and a stumbling preacher. I've seen churches hurt because a member was stumbling and causing others to stumble and they brought down the standard of God in the church. Let me tell you something. The devil has his mark on this church. And we can't give any place to the devil. The Bible says neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Redeem the times because the days are evil. Let's not be a stumbling block, amen? Let's be a stepping stone. Number 6, the serenity test. I like that word, serenity. It speaks of peace, doesn't it? Here's the question. Have you prayed and received peace about the decision you're going to make? How many of you have ever prayed about a decision before you made it? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to just get a... You prayed about something before you made the decision. Yes. Amen. My father told me, I think I mentioned this, don't make any financial decision until you pray, a major financial decision, until you prayed about it for 30 days. You wouldn't believe all of the money I probably saved. Because by the time the 30th day came, I didn't even want what I thought I had to have. Amen. You know why many people are in debt? They don't pray about the decisions they're making. If you pray about whether I should spend this or not, I'll be driving down the road and I'll say, oh, I just want to go get a large Coke, Diet Coke at McDonald's because it's only $1.07. I've got Coke at home. And the Holy Spirit says, why don't you just drive home? Sometimes I don't pull into McDonald's. I hate to say it, but sometimes I do. I want to say to you, the Lord doesn't always win in your life. You know that. But when you honor Him and you're obedient to Him, you're the one that wins. You don't lose when you are obedient to the wisdom of God. So you must ask the Lord to give you peace. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here it is, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love it when I make the right decision and it gives me peace. I also like it when my wife says, that was a good decision you made. Amen. I think it's good to bounce it off your wife and not try to ask for forgiveness later. Can I get an amen right there? Right. We must ask the Lord to help us to be at peace with God. Hey, if I'm at peace with God, I'll be at peace with my wife. Amen. She'll respect the decisions that I make. Yeah. Amen. There have been times I didn't do what I wanted to do because my wife gave me a good reason why I shouldn't do it. And I listened. The miracle of a husband listening. Come on, ladies, say amen. Oh, God help us. Right? Let's be at peace one with another. I'm going to be preaching a couple, my wife and I are going to be in Orlando a couple weeks. We're going to be speaking at a couples retreat of about 106 couples. And that's going to be fun. And I'm praying, Lord, help me to say the right thing. Amen. Now, my wife's going to be right there, too. And she's going to be speaking. And her and I are going to do a session together on empty nesters. How many of you are empty nesters? Okay. You need to, I'm trying to find a verse in the Bible for that. So if you come across a verse in the Bible, let me know, okay? We'll work on that one together. All right, number 7. I must hurry. The sanctification test. Here's the question. Will this keep me from growing in the character of Jesus Christ? Sanctification means you're separated from the world, but you're separated unto God. It's a twofold separation. Sanctification means that you have been set apart for God's glory. Amen. Some people are only happy when everything goes their way. And they're miserable when things don't go their way. They're not sanctified. They're not sanctified. They're selfish. I was speaking to men in a couples retreat in Florida 8 years ago. It was the first couples retreat they had there. And I met with just the men. And there's this young guy. He just got married maybe 6-8 months earlier. And he said to me, Brother Knickerbocker, he said, you know, I'm not a people person in the morning. I don't like the mornings. I don't like my wife to talk. I need to have at least a pot of coffee before I even want to see her. And he's going on like this. And I'm going, oh, this is good. This is going to be fun. And I said, he goes, don't you think it's all right for me to ask my wife to just not show up for a little while here in the morning so I can just get myself together? I said, you're selfish. He looked at me like there was something wrong with me. I said to him, you're selfish. Get over it. Amen. Listen, you got married. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It doesn't. My wife owns me. She's got the paperwork. Yeah. I'm not to live for myself. I'm to live for her. Can I get one amen right there? You ladies, I'm trying to help you. It's so true. Oh, the happy couple are the ones that are in love with each other and want what's best for the other, not themselves. What can I do to be a blessing? And you know, this is the Lord is also saying, hey, what about me? Don't you love me? If you really love me, why don't you serve me? Why don't you faithfully witness for me? Why don't you tell others about Christ? Yeah. Boy, you find out real quick who loves the Lord and who doesn't. It's by our actions. Oh, here's the scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face behold him as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are to live and show forth the glory of Almighty God. That's why the Bible says, this is the way, walk ye in it. I've showed you the path of life. In his fullness is joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I love it when I know I'm giving God pleasure. When he can say, keep up the good work. And then number 8, the last one, is the supreme test. The supreme test. And that is, the question is asked, does the decision I make glorify God? Does it glorify God? Is God lifted up and praised? I say to you tonight that last December my wife had a CAT scan. The doctor dropped the ball and didn't tell Anne-Marie till June 1st that she had an aortic aneurysm on the heart. Well, we were concerned about it. It was almost a 5. 6 means you've got to have surgery. Some of you may know about that. When it starts bleeding and is enlarged, it can cause them to bleed internally and die. Aneurysms are dangerous. And so, she had one done last week, another CAT scan, which is now August. And today, she called me and said it was not 4.6, it was now 4.1. I was praying, oh God, shrink that thing, would you? Boy, my wife said a miracle took place and I am going to give God all the glory for it. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Why? Because we want to give glory in everything. Oh, it's easy to give glory when the things are great. Kind of hard to wonder how falling through a plate glass window and getting an artery cut would be something whereby we would glorify the Lord. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks. You know what that means? He's still alive. He could have been dead. But one of the neat things about Christians is we have a great package when we got saved. If I die, don't you cry about me dying. You say, he's in glory. Amen. I had pneumonia one time, double pneumonia. I've had bronchitis before. I was laying in the hospital in Peekskill and I said, Lord, I'm thinking about heaven. I'm kind of getting excited about it. You going to take me? 2 days later, that very night, my fever broke and I said, well, I guess not. God's not done with me yet. Amen. I'm going to keep serving him. Hey, you will make wrong decisions and it'll get you out of church. It'll get you backward with everybody. You know you did the wrong thing. Just confess it, forsake it, and get forgiveness. And the Lord is looking for all of us to make sure that we stop making wrong decisions and start making right decisions. What right decisions are you going to start making? Some of you already know the decisions you need to make. The Holy Spirit already revealed it to you. I didn't even have to say anything about it. Isn't that amazing how the Holy Spirit works? Long after this message is over, our great God is still working on us to help us to make the right choices. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you've been so attentive this evening. I do want all of you to be in heaven. I don't want anybody to go to hell here. If you've never been trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus wants to be your Savior. The pastor's going to come in a moment and we're going to have an invitation. If you would like to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you're sure of heaven, I want you to slip out of your seat and just come and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Now, Christian, I really preached mostly to believers tonight. Some of you, and all of us, I would say all of us have made wrong decisions, wrong choices. How many of you know that there are some right choices you need to start making? Would you raise your hand? Many of us. That's wonderful. Are you willing to make those right choices? You'll have to change your lifestyle a little bit. You may not be able to hang out with some of the people you're hanging out with that are dragging you down. There may be some things you are doing right now that you ought not to be doing. Let's all stand together. And you know what I'd like you to do? I ask the Lord to help me. This message was for me too. I'm going to come and stand down here at the communion table. If you raised your hand and you say, I know God wants me to start doing some things that I've not been doing, I want you to join me as we begin to have the pianist play. Come on. If you need to be saved, come and we'll show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you want to take a stand and say, Lord, I'm going to start making some right choices. Amen. Just gather around. We're going to pray together in a minute. It's easy to make wrong choices, isn't it? Sometimes we do things and say, I can't believe I did that. Well, the devil wanted you to do it. Your flesh wanted to do it. Maybe the world enticed you when you did it. Let us take a few moments as we bow our heads. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask the pastor to finish it off with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I don't always make the right decisions. And I've regretted it. I want you, Lord, to help all of us to make all the right decisions. We're going to have to deny ourselves, I know, Lord, if we're going to make those decisions. We're going to have to serve you in order to make right decisions. Forgive us, Lord, where we've gotten lazy. Forgive us, Lord, where we thought, well, I'll let somebody else do it. Oh, God, use me. Use us. For your glory and honor. May the church thrive even in the midst of COVID. May our lives be so sweet and so precious because we made the right choices. Send a revival here. You can only send it if everybody starts making the right choices.
Amen.
We're asking you, oh God, to do a mighty work here. Thank you for every person that is making a decision, whether they're up here in the front or they're in their seat. I'm going to make some changes that I know will give God great pleasure. In Jesus' name. Pastor, you close.
Amen. I really appreciated that sermon very, very much. I don't preach a whole lot of topical sermons, but this one I'm tucking away in my Bible. You'll hear it again. Because it's so vitally important that we make the right choices. Your life is a culmination of the choices you make. So make your choices through the counseling of God. My wife have come to decision back in 2015. Choices through counseling. And what we mean by that is the counsel of God's word. Don't make a decision when your decision maker's broken. Go to the counsel of God, and God will give you the answer. Father, thank you that you're all wise. Thank you that you're all knowing. Thank you, Lord, that you know us better than we know ourselves. And Lord, if we're honest and transparent before you tonight, how many times have you moved us away from a bad decision and saved us in so many ways? Oh God, thank you for your mercy, your compassion, your grace. And Lord, may we really take to heart this sermon. It is truly a sermon for all of us who are saved, that we've got to make our choices through the scriptures and base it upon your word. Now, Father, if there's anyone here tonight who's never made the choice to be saved, again, their life is a culmination of the choices they'll make. And the greatest choice they'll make, Father, you know, is to trust your Son, Jesus Christ, for eternal life. So, Father, if there's anyone among us, may they just step out after the service and speak to me or Brother Dan or one of our deacons, Lord, anyone here who knows you would love to share the gospel. Thank you for this audience tonight. I feel something special here. So I ask you to pour out your blessing, especially upon the pastors that are here. I think of Pastor Tom, and I ask you, Lord, to continue to anoint him and his wife, Nancy, for the work of the ministry that they're doing. And such a wonderful couple. Bless them. Bless the other churches, Lord, in the fellowship, that you'll do great things. We pray the revival will come to all of our churches. Amen. Change our communities. Change, Father, our state, and change our nation. Amen. Oh, God, help us to save our country. We ask these things with really burdened hearts for our nation.
Yes.
And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to invite all of you to the hall. And